The Grassroots. Have you ever visited the Daintree? It's an incredible 1,200 square kilometres of World Heritage listed tropical rainforest on the northern Queensland coast. Sir David Attenborough calls it the most extraordinary place on earth. Well, it's hard to believe it once lay squarely in the sights of developers. On Grassroots, we like to have a good news story about people doing good things in the world. So tonight, we're talking about regenerating and protecting this particularly special part of Australia. Well, joining me from Rainforest Rescue is its Chief Executive, Brandon Barber, to tell us about some of the exciting projects that his organisation and its partners are involved in. Hi, Brandon. Welcome to Grassroots.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Now, tell me where you are. I hope you're somewhere exotic in the middle of the Daintree to talk to us right now.
You know, actually, it's a little more pedestrian at the moment. Our headquarters is based in Mullumbimby. So I get up to the Daintree several times a year, but tonight I'm actually in Byron Shire.
Oh, all right. Well, it's still relatively exotic in Byron Shire.
It is. It is definitely exotic. It's the place to come for being different.
So, Brandon, when we talk about rainforest, what exactly do we mean? Can you describe, you know, what it is exactly and how unique the Daintree really is?
Well, you know, we could take the scientific route or we could take the poetic route there. You know, rainforest, just a little bit of the science side of things. Rainforests are incredibly complex ecosystems with tremendous biodiversity, and they provide a lot of what we call co-benefits or ecosystem services that make life on Earth possible. And rainforests like the Daintree are often referred to as the lungs of the planet because they produce so much oxygen. And they also help regulate the climate by drawing down carbon from the atmosphere and storing it in the structures of the plants and in the soil. Rainforests are also incredible habitats for such a diverse array of creatures. And the Daintree certainly has its fair share of very exotic critters. I think everybody's probably heard of the southern cassowary or the tree kangaroo. And we have plenty of them up there. And, you know, having spent a fair amount of time in different rainforests around the world, you know, the Daintree is said to be the most ancient of rainforests. And what that means is that the Daintree has been around longer than any others as a continuously evolving expression of biodiversity in action. And we could say that the Daintree is perhaps 180 million years old, whereas vast rainforests like the Amazon are only perhaps 65, 70 million years old.
Really? Wow. Yep. So the Daintree is substantially older than it. So how does that make it different?
Well, you know, some of the plants that you can go see in the Daintree, and some of the creatures, but some of the plants are literally living dinosaur trees and dinosaur plants that you'll find in other parts of the world, but only in the fossil record. In the Daintree, you can go and see cycad trees that are perhaps 1,500 years old. That's amazing.
1,500-year-old trees?
Uh-huh.
An actual tree that, started growing 1,500 years ago.
Yeah. No, it's amazing.
My goodness. I had no idea there were trees that old still around.
Yep. And I think one of the things that's most amazing about the Daintree is how little we actually know about it as a unique entity unto itself. And one of the things at Rainforest Rescue, we're always hoping to do more of, but we have helped and we are working on some projects with scientists to help learn more about the Daintree and how rainforests work. And currently there's a project about to begin that's going to help show how rainforests are adapting to climate change. That's really interesting stuff. And the Daintree is really a living laboratory. Often, you know, people are talking about how we solve problems, and you've probably heard of biomimicry. And biomimicry is just using design inherent in nature and applying that to, you know, our human world and things that we're creating, like houses. And when you look at the way that nature has learned over 4.6 billion years, it probably has a lot to teach us. So protecting areas like the Daintree that we're still learning about and have so much to learn yet, it's really important.
Tell us about how the Daintree connects with the Great Barrier Reef, because they're effectively side by side.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to just do a little shout out to our friends at Great Barrier Reef Legacy. We did a little awareness campaign called Rainforest to Reef, just to highlight the relationship between the Daintree Rainforest and the Great Barrier Reef, both World Heritage listed areas. And they have this really sweet relationship whereby the reef exudes chemicals into the atmosphere that float over the Daintree that help create rain and force clouds to come together and create condensation that becomes rain that flows into the Daintree. And then the Daintree processes and purifies that water, runs it through all the systems, into the tributaries and into the river it goes, ultimately back onto the reef. And it provides clean, fresh water that the reef needs in order to be healthy.
We're talking to Brandon Barber. He's the chief executive of Rainforest Rescue, which looks after the Daintree Rainforest. Now, how long since it's been heritage listed?
Gosh, you got me there, Suzanne. I think it's in the 90s it was listed as World Heritage.
And how significant was that listing? How important was it?
Well, I think what it did was it protected the rest of the Daintree from development, which is, you know, a remarkable achievement when you consider that the Upper Daintree is protected thanks to the World Heritage listing and then being made into a national park. Whereas the Lower Daintree, the area between the Upper Daintree that's protected and then the reef, so sort of that interim area, is the unprotected Daintree.
So tell us about your organization and how long it's been around.
Well, so Rainforest Rescue has been around for over 20 years now, 22 years, I think. Yep. And we were formed originally as part of Big Scrub Land Care Group. And ultimately it was decided that someone really needed to look after the Daintree, and the fact that the Lower Daintree had been subdivided during the Joe Bielke-Peterson government. And then, of course, there was a brief buyback from the Queensland government in the 90s that provided about $5 million worth of buyback funding. But there are still upwards of 200 properties in the Daintree that have not been developed but could be developed. And we want to make sure that doesn't happen. So Rainforest Rescue has been raising funds and buying back blocks of pristine rainforest that are connected to the national park, to the World Heritage Area, or connected to other blocks that are connected to the World Heritage Area in order to increase that footprint of habitat to encourage and protect biodiversity. And we have protected 35 rainforest blocks in the Daintree and did a large restoration project on a block of land known fondly as Lot 46. We actually have been working with the local traditional owners who have granted us a new name for Lot 46, but we haven't released it yet. But we're very excited because Lot 46 went from being an oil palm plantation, what had once been rainforest, into an oil palm plantation. And now it's gone back through our efforts over 5-6 years of a very serious restoration. And we're very excited that it's been granted Nature Reserve certification.
Now, just to make Lot 46 slightly more interesting, is it true it used to be owned by Christopher Skase?
Yeah, Christopher Skase. What a creative fellow. Yes, he used that land to landscape the entry to Port Douglas. So if you ever go to Port Douglas and you notice on that long stretch before you actually come to the town, there's all these palm trees lining the sides, you can thank Christopher Skase for that.
Oh, yeah, I was there a couple of years ago. So that's where Lot 46 is.
Well, Lot 46 is north of the Daintree River, so the Daintree proper. Yeah. And it's not far from our nursery. We have, it's a relatively small nursery, but for the region, it produces more trees than any others. Although I think you could say that the council nursery in Mossman, Douglasshire Council, is pretty close. And we produce 11,000 to 12,000 Daintree trees a year. And that's through collecting seeds on the lands that we've protected or along roadsides where you find remnant vegetation. And we produce over 150 species every year that goes into our current restoration project just south of the Daintree River, an area known as Wonga, that backs up to the Dagmar Range, which is part of the Daintree. But this is a very different endeavor. It's restoring cane fields, so cane agriculture, which is really rough on soil. I mean, if you look at the land and you check it out, it doesn't feel so much like soil as it feels like dirt, you know, and it's been a real journey and a learning process to turn this, decades old cane land back into rainforest. And it's a sweet story. The owner of the property is a bat rescuer. And we know that people who are wildlife carers and rescuers are very passionate. And she's turning this whole block, 15 hectares or more, actually, back into rainforest habitat for the bats.
So if you've bought a number of blocks, obviously, and you're obviously working with people who also own land that you can help regenerate, how much land is there left in the upper Daintree the lower Daintree that you think needs to be protected?
You know, that's very interesting. On the one hand, I can tell you that there's at least 180 odd blocks of land that could be purchased and protected. But then there is land that has been degraded that is connected to the upper Daintree or to actual Daintree rainforest that could be restored, like what we did at Lot 46 and like what we're doing at Nightwings at Wonga. And we're just in the process of raising funds and in the planning phases, almost ready to break ground on a new nursery, because working with partners, Jabalbina Aboriginal Corporation, who represent the traditional owners of the area as well as other traditional owners all over the top end, as well as Queensland Trust for Nature and Greenfleet, which is a nonprofit carbon project. Together, we're working on building a new nursery. So Rainforest Rescue is going to raise the funds, build and run a nursery that will go from 11,000 to 12,000 trees a year to up to 150,000 trees a year in order to provide trees for restoration work at a much larger scale that has been possible in the past. And we're putting it on land that we helped identify and help broker a deal so that Queensland Trust for Nature could purchase that land, protect it, give us a spot to put this nursery, and it has 250 acres that needs to be restored. So it's a place to experiment with restoration, to put into play a model that was created by Rainforest Rescue Scientific Advisor that's been very effective at creating rapid canopy closure so that you don't have so much weed competition and get back to that rainforest structure quicker and efficiently. And then we are hoping to work on another project that's in the upper Daintree that's been, this is cattle pasture, and there's actually a significant amount of land that used to be rainforest in a couple of valleys that are part of the upper Daintree that are cattle ranching. And one of these big blocks of land has 450 acres ready to restore, and the owner's excited to work with us and with Jabalbina and QTFN and Greenfleet to restore that land back to rainforest. So we figured a couple of years ago that we needed to be planting more trees, considering the importance of expanding the habitat footprint of the Daintree and the importance of drawing carbon down from the atmosphere to help mitigate climate change and stop global warming. And well, you know, we are in the business of rescuing rainforest and planting trees. So we thought we would up that. And it took a partnership with the likes of QTFN and Jabalbina and Greenfleet for us to be able to move forward and be the pointy end of what's going to be a whole era of restoration in the Daintree. We're really excited about it.
Yeah. So Brandon, say you take this piece of land that you've had cattle on or you've had sugarcane on, how long does the process take to get that, I mean, back to what it might have looked like prior to that kind of development?
Well, I can tell you that using our planning methodology, we get canopy closure in 2 years. So that means that basically you've got an emergent rainforest structure with a closed canopy that would be, say, maybe as many as 8 to 10 meters.
So you get the big trees in there pretty early. You don't sort of wait to put the lower stuff in. You're getting tall trees planted straight into the ground.
Well, we all of our trees are babies when we put them in. And that's not to say that they're tiny little seedlings. You know, some of them might be a meter high when we put them in the ground. But everything is designed to grow in concert. So you have pioneer species, and then you have primaries and secondaries. And then we always count on lots of opportunistic growth from, say, birds and animals like the cassowary, who's known as the rainforest garden, that bring in seeds from outside that sprout. So, you know, it takes a couple of years to get that canopy closure, and then it really starts to flesh out. And if you look at what we did at Lot 46, soon to be renamed, you can see that in really as short as 5 or 6 years, you've restored it back to a habitat that the Queensland government is happy to certify as worthy of being a nature refuge. So it's one thing to say that, yes, things grow very quickly up there in the tropics and in the rich soil of the Daintree, but, you know, a little bit of instruction from nature and that 4.6 billion years I was talking about of learning And we managed to create a template that brings us back to a rainforest structure pretty quick. And we see the return of lots of animals, like the cassowary, like the rare and endangered spotted tail quoll, like Bennett's tree kangaroo. It's very exciting to be restoring this kind of a natural entity and to be making this kind of a contribution back to nature. So, you know, I feel very grateful to get to do this kind of work. And it's very exciting to see over the last few years how Rainforest Rescue has grown. And it's only because of the support of this growing base of people who care about nature that we're able to take on these new challenges, like building this new nursery, like making these, you know, some people thought, wow, 150,000 trees a year, huh? Where are you going to put them? Well, now we know where we're going to put them. And as we make them more available, more people are stepping forward and looking at restoration. It's something you're starting to see, not just up there, but around the country and even around the world. Restoration is an emerging new business.
So when you look to the future, I mean, do you have people who are, you know, have got sugarcane plantations up there or maybe have been using it for cattle that you're kind of thinking, oh, maybe in a few years we might be able to convince them to do something with that? Is there a lot of land that perhaps in the long term an organization like yours would be hoping to have a chance to regenerate?
Well, you know, I would be kidding if I said that we weren't. You know, we want to see everything that was rainforest turned back into rainforest. But, you know, we are also pragmatic and realistic. And there are people who have, you know, long-term family businesses, going concerns that, you know, aren't going to necessarily make way for that kind of rainforest. But as you see the economic returns for cane replaced with economic benefits for, say, biodiversity credits, carbon credit schemes, different ways to show that nature has economic benefits that can actually be paid out to landowners, then you'll start to see people saying, wow, you know, I guess it is actually economically more more exciting for me and a better way to run my business if I move towards restoration. And that's my hope. That's my goal.
I'm sure there are opportunities there when there for increased ecotourism as well within some of these restored areas.
Oh, definitely. The large block I was talking about to come after Lot 83, where we're putting the nursery with Queensland Trust for Nature and Jabalbina. The next block that I serve is 450 acres currently cattle grazed in an upper Daintree Valley. That's going to be an ecotourism glamping site. You know, it's a very beautiful place with a fairly famous waterfall. It just happens to have a lot of cattle and a lot of pasture land.
Wonderful to talk to you, Brandon, and fascinating to hear about what you're doing up in the Daintree. Thanks so much for joining us on Grassroots this evening.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for featuring Rainforest Rescue. We really appreciate it.
That is Brandon Barber, who's the Chief Executive of Rainforest Rescue.
You're listening to Nightlife with Suzanne Hill on ABC Radio.